This Orthodox Jewish man, a Mossad officer from Israel, was miraculously healed of 8 major diseases on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your host on It's Supernatural. My guest was a professional assassin. At a young age, Moshe, you were a Nazi hunter.
Yeah.
Why did you hate Nazis?
Well, when I was like 9 years old, I asked my mom, why don't I have any grandfather? Why don't I have a grandma? Why don't I have any family? And we lost them all in Europe to the Nazis. And I resented that an awful lot. And I just said this was never going to happen again.
Listen, to resent that and to be involved in identifying and terminating Nazis, that's two different things. You had something a little more rage inside than the normal person.
Justice. They were not going to get away with it. These were people who were they thought were beyond the reach, beyond the law. These were not the ones that were captured or brought to justice. These were the ones who thought they could live out their lives in peace after killing an entire people, and that wasn't going to happen.
I know you did not, but would you have killed a Nazi if you had the opportunity?
Yes. Yes, without a doubt, because I believed that I was anointed, I was being led to do this sort of thing, that God had sent me as a warrior of David from the Torah to go and do this thing for my people.
Okay, then you evolved to be a Mossad officer, and you trained assassins.
Mm-hmm.
Did this bother you at all? I mean, you were trained people to kill people.
Well, it was amazing because I had this gift. You know, it wasn't a violent thing. It wasn't that I wanted to run around and hurt people. This was a Torah thing. This was the eye for an eye. These were the enemies of Israel that had to be destroyed so they would leave us alone. It was more of a peaceful thing. They had to be taken care of so that our children didn't have to live in fear.
Just out of curiosity, what type of ethics did you follow as a Mossad officer?
You know, it's interesting, not even in the Mossad, because this is very little talked about, but the Israeli military, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, within their doctrinal statement of the army regulations, state that life is sacred and only be taken when and if necessary. This is why the ethics are carried out. It's not a light thing. As a matter of fact, when we began training people for the anti-terrorist training, which was beyond the assassination, it was a very difficult thing to find qualified people that could do that.
For instance, you told me at one raid, because of the ethics, lives were lost.
Well, 1972, I believe the year was, when the Japanese attacked the airport. At one point, for just a moment,
this is the airport
it was then called Lud. It's now Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. And at one point, when the Japanese were taking the weapons out of their suitcases on the suitcase carrier thing there, a border patrolman saw them and was in position to actually take all of them out at the one moment, but there was a family standing between them and he was incapable of firing, and by the time he tried to get into position, shooting started, almost 100 people were wounded, 24 were killed. One of them was the brother of the president of Israel, who is a world-renowned, eminent nuclear physicist. Not that his life was any more precious than anybody else's, but God forbid he had to take those 3 lives. He could have saved 24 plus the 100 and all the other things. This is a very difficult thing for a person who's brought up on the ethical principle of the value of life. And we had to find a training program that would allow a thinking person to shoot through a good guy.
Now, I understand you are a pretty big guy. You weighed close to 400 pounds?
After my training. But yes, when I was in training, I weighed like 265.
Aha. Okay, a lot of stress?
A lot of stress. It's a stressful job because, you know, when you're hunting them, they're not exactly sitting around, they're hunting you back. So life gets really stressful. The point is you have to be, I had a wife and two children in Israel, and every morning when we said goodbye, it was literally goodbye. I never knew if I was coming back. A couple of times she got a phone call and I came back 3 months later. And there was always the issue that I may never come back.
Now you came from a real religious background. You were Orthodox, Hasidic, you wore the little curls. Mm-hmm. Did anyone ever tell you about Christianity?
Well, they tried. They tried. They couldn't when I was little because I was brought up in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which is a very Jewish,
very
Orthodox.
Religious.
And it really wasn't. We all knew we had Catholics, we had Jews, and we kind of lived with each other. There wasn't this big witnessing thing because you couldn't witness to me, Sid. You try to witness to me. And at first I would just say to you, listen, I'm Jewish. I've got enough problems. Leave me alone. And then, if you were a good witnessor and you said it again, I spit on you.
Serious?
Seriously.
And what if I said it again after you spit on me?
It never happened. I never got violent, but I mean, listen, when I stand up, I'm 6'3". And if I just spit on you, would you want to talk to me about anything?
I understand. But guess what happened? He heard an audible voice that revolutionized his life, and he is a new type of military warrior. Right back after this.
We will return to It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth. My guest, Moshe Lori, former Mossad officer. Well, Moshe Lori, the pressure was really heavy. And he came to America, I guess, for a little rest and relaxation. Yes. And you tried to make a little money on the side. Tell me what you were doing with your camera.
Well, what I would do is I'd get to the States and I had a car parked and had video equipment and mm-hmm. I didn't really need the money, but then you wanted to make a little extra. What I did is I found, while in my travels, I found a little league, what they called it, Pop Warner, a little football league.
I offered to
videotape them. Mm-hmm. And of course they paid me for it and videotaped them. 9-year-olds in full equipment, it's hysterical. Then they were going to have an awards dinner and they asked if I would tape it because the mommies are the coaches. You know, the little guys mm-hmm. with the mommies. And then I said, okay. But then I found out to my surprise that this football league was sponsored by the largest Catholic church in Las Cruces, New Mexico. That's where I was.
So money is money.
Listen, I was taught as a child that the devil lived in them churches. Just like absolutely. The rabbis don't go there. These are deceived people. The devil uses them to take Yeshua, who was really a good prophet, and they made him into this Messiah, and it's causing us all these problems. Don't go there. And I found out from Catholic friends of mine that the nuns would say the same thing to them about us. But I was really hesitant about it, and it was a large church. So, but I'd already been paid, Sid. I already had the money in my pocket, and I wasn't going to give it back. So I went to talk to the priest, and I said to the priest, listen, I'm coming to do this filming, but if you start any prayers before I get to film, the mommies aren't going to get their tape because I'm leaving. I was nice about it, and then we did that. I didn't know also that it wasn't only the largest Catholic church in town. It also had a kindergarten through 12th grade school. It was a mandatory assembly. I walk into this place early, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was 4,000 plus people sitting there. I almost died. Here I am.
Wait a second. You're a professional assassin, a Mossad officer, and you just can't take some Catholics, some Christians?
I wasn't worried about the Christians. I was armed. I was worried about
the devil.
What do you
mean? Wait, you were armed?
Oh, I always carried a weapon. Until I left Israel because of things we're going to talk about, I was always armed. There was always a weapon on me, around me, near me, because I never knew.
But you were afraid of...
devil.
Why?
Because the devil lived there. I wasn't supposed to go where he was.
Uh-huh. And maybe you had a little fear that God wasn't happy with this?
I didn't really know. This was just an instinctive thing that you're taught since childhood. You don't go in these places.
So you're in there, you're trapped, you're paid in advance. What happens next?
I go all the way in, I go off to the side, I won't talk to anybody. I'm just doing one of these numbers. I go in.
I can picture you.
Oh, yeah. I walked in, I got as far over as I could in the corner. I wouldn't even set up my tripod because I was afraid if I had to get out of there quickly, I didn't want to lose my equipment. I started videotaping, minding my own business, Sid. And I hear a voice all of a sudden.
Are you used to hearing voices?
Not back then I wasn't. Oh no.
First time?
First time that I heard one audibly. I always waited to hear.
Audibly or inside?
I thought it was audibly. I heard this voice as clear as you heard it.
Someone spoke to you, what did they say?
It said, you can serve the Father through me, you will serve the Father through me, for I have come in his stead. Can you hear that? You can serve the Father through me. You will serve the Father through me, for I've come in his stead. And Sid, I started crying like a baby. Big hero, armed. I started to cry because at that very moment, I think I may have mentioned to you when we were talking that I've been waiting all my life for the Messiah to come. All my life, since I was a little boy, because this is what we wait for.
At Passover, we want the Elijah as he's going
come
to
through
announce.
The door.
Right, and could this be the Passover the Messiah will come?
And I knew at that very moment, I knew that not only was that the Messiah, but it was Jesus, it was Yeshua, not the one I really wanted to be the Messiah, but I knew that I knew. And you know, people have asked me over the years, how did I know? Well, I can't even tell you today how I knew, but I know and I know and I don't care.
Okay, God speaks to you and says, repeat that, what did he say?
You can serve the Father through me. You will serve the Father through me, for I have come in his stead.
Listen, you're not like a secular Jew that had no education. How much yeshiva school did you go through?
Altogether, as an adult and as a child, 21 years.
Of yeshiva.
Yeah, and because of my security background, Sid, if that wasn't supernatural, I'd have taken that camera apart to see who's playing games. So, who planted the tape recorder?
All right, you get this audible voice tells you you should serve Jesus.
Mm.
What do you do with this information?
I finished videotaping. Remember, I walked in there all surly and hiding.
Right.
I walked out, I got the equipment back up. These people thought I was crazy. I got this big grin on my face. I'm walking out trying to shake these people's hands. And they don't want nothing to do with me. They think I've gone completely nuts, that I must have taken some drug while I was in the corner videotaping. What I really needed to do now is find out what I was supposed to do. I had no clue. The only thing I knew about Christianity was to refute it. I'd been trained as an adult how to come against.
How were you trained? Who trained you?
I the last place I studied was in Esh HaTorah, a yeshiva in Jerusalem. It's the flame of the Bible. And senior students and first year rabbis were trained on how to refute the New Testament. We carried plastic cards. No, it isn't. It isn't John 3:16. It's Joel. We had it all set. So I needed to know what to do, because if I had been a non-Jew and I converted to Judaism at that moment, I would have needed to find a rabbi and then spend almost a year learning the 613 mitzvot. So I was running around that whole day. I didn't want to deal with the Catholics. I was brought up with Catholics. I knew that this was the Messiah, but I wasn't still sure about these people.
You know what I'm curious?
What?
Your wife, your children, Israelis, How did they handle this?
Not well. After all this was said and done, I went back to Israel. And you know, I didn't have a whole lot of sense what the reaction would be. I was just so thrilled that the Messiah...
Your whole life, you're waiting for the Messiah. He's not the one that you expect.
I go running back. I arrive. My best friend shows up at the house. He's also involved. I say to him, the Mashiach has come. And he goes, because he was also religious, he goes, where? And I say, listen, it's Yeshua. It's this Jesus guy. He's been here 2,000 years and we blew it. He gets very quiet and he says to me, Moshe, I got to go for a minute. I'll be right back. 16 years, he hasn't come back yet. They divorced me against my will.
Your wife?
My wife really didn't want it, but she comes, she's Iraqi. She comes from a very old family, very involved in security since like the early 30s. They decided that I was nuts, because I was crazy, because I accepted this false prophet as the Messiah. In Israel, if you want a divorce, Sid, A woman cannot get one, period. A man takes two and a half, 3 years because it's a spirit of reconciliation from the rabbis. They divorced me in less than 2 months against my will because they decided I'm spiritually crazy.
What happened with your children?
They took them. They divorced. I didn't see my children.
I'm just curious. Mm. Your whole life you realize you've been told Jesus isn't the Messiah. Now God tells you he is. It's costing your family. Couldn't you compromise a little?
Actually, I had left, and there was kind of a feeler. I could have gone back after about 4 or 5 months, possibly, and just said, listen, stress, I was on the sabbatical, Meshuggah, I was a little bit crazy, I'm sorry, it was wrong. Go into a little bit of counseling with our agency, and then go sit with the rabbi for 6 months quietly, and I would have gotten it all back. Because not only did they take my family, my job, I found out later they canceled my passport. I'm surprised they didn't kill me. If I were them, I would have killed me. Because what I knew and what I was involved in, and I, as far as they were concerned, I was absolutely unstable. Said I went from being in just a...
But wait a minute, maybe this voice was just your imagination. Why would you wreck your whole family over serving the Messiah?
Because I knew. I knew that I knew. How could I not? Listen, my whole life changed.
It's your wife, your children. Come on, Moshe. You're human.
I didn't have a choice. I knew. Listen, from that moment on, I came into the real joy, Sid. You know what? I had more problems and more from that moment on than I ever had in my entire life.
All these physical things happened. You had how many major diseases?
Eight. Been more since then.
Tell me the major diseases.
Well,
that you had.
I had a heart condition. There was damage to the back of my heart. I had valve trouble. I had sick sinus syndrome. It's the pacemaker got destroyed. I think it was when they were fixing it. I had degenerative arthritis of the spine and joints. I had four different lung diseases that was so bad that I couldn't even breathe properly. The joint problems and the weight.
How was your walking?
Well, I walked with a cane or I sat in a wheelchair. There was no choice. I'd had almost 28 years of martial arts, and of course the one I used wasn't for sport. The different amalgamations of seven different forms, and there was just a combination that was literally destroying the cartilage and the joints. The arthritis was so bad.
Hold that thought. You're going to find out that the God he served honored him and he had miraculous healings. Next. Stay right there.
We'll be right back with more of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth with my guest, Moshe Lori. Moshe was a Mossad officer, a professional assassin. He hears a voice that tells him what he didn't want to hear. His whole life as an Orthodox Jew, he wanted the Messiah, but he finds out that it's the Jew, Jesus. His wife, his two children, leave him. They want nothing to do with him. Then things get even worse. He has eight major diseases. Could the doctors cure your arthritis?
Oh, no.
What type of, tell me how bad the arthritis was.
I had degenerative arthritis of the spine and joints so bad that I couldn't pick up 10 pounds. If I tried to pick up a loaded briefcase, I would scream from the pain. Today I can pick you up.
I don't want you to try. How was your walking?
I couldn't really walk well. I mean, I had to walk with a cane. I had huge pain. It was almost impossible. I rode in a wheelchair. When I'd go to the supermarket, I'd take the motorized carts. They thought that in 91, they thought that I wouldn't live out the year. I was taking 12 medications three times a day. And this is what was going on.
Tell me what your prognosis was for life.
I was supposed to be dead by the end of 92. They said that I would not live out the year because the heart was deteriorating, the medications were interacting on themselves, they had just nowhere to go. The lungs were getting worse. They inserted a pacemaker. The pacemaker was on demand.
So Moshe, you're following Jesus. You lose your wife. Between you and me, did you love your wife?
My one true love. Really? I mean, not my one true love because God has replaced it.
Obviously,
but this was
my love. You
love
your children?
Yes. Yes.
Must have been hard.
It was difficult, but he took care of it.
Okay. But now you have all these physical things wrong with you. You're literally, you're crippled. You're not good for anything. Between you and me, you really think this Jesus is real?
I don't look very crippled today, do I?
No.
Right. 1992.
Listen, I got the medical reports right here, and you were a mess.
Dying.
You know, there's no cure for arthritis.
No. Ah, yes, there is. Today there is.
What?
Yeshua. You also have the report in there that says that just a few weeks ago, they did a scan for bone, and the doctor found, the foot doctor that was doing this didn't know my background and said, I'm sorry, I want to tell you that you have a little bit of arthritis in your shoulders. And I said, doctor, are you sure? I said, what, anything else? And he said, oh, no, the rest of your body is the bones and the cartilage are in perfect shape.
What kind of test did they do for you?
It was a gamma ray test. They took the blood and they got the white corpuscles and they put radioactivity.
So what happened to the arthritis in the spine and that was making
the
you on a cane and wheelchair and the knees? What happened to all that?
He healed it. Lord said, I can put my heel in my belly.
You're not taking these super nutrition things that are supposed to relieve the pain?
Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I do herbs and vitamins, but it has nothing to do with this. It's gone. The Lord healed it. God healed this because he promised. And I asked him. I had no choice. Listen, if I was willing to give up my children, my life, my country, why wouldn't I turn to him? I went and said, you said, the supernaturally, you said you would heal me. And he did. They can't find any of the diseases anymore, Sid. They can't find any of it. And you know what? He's also establishing my children.
What do you mean?
I hadn't seen my children in 15 years. And I went back to Israel on a tour, and I reestablished myself with my daughter. Found out that she got saved. My 23-year-old daughter is a believer. My former wife doesn't want to hear it, but she is a believer. She's coming to be with us for 6 months very soon. He replaced the wife, my true love, with another true love, a believer. He reestablished that. He saved my 82-year-old mother before.
How does an 82-year-old Jewish woman turn to Jesus?
Oy, I heard that I should go tell my mother about Yeshua. And the last thing a good Jewish boy, I don't care how old he is, wants to tell his mother is something she doesn't want to hear. But I went, and I didn't just walk up and say, Jesus, she'd have probably smacked me. I walked up and I began to tell her about the changes in my life. I'm not hunting people anymore. Even though I did it for Israel, mothers don't approve of that. And she knew a little bit about it, so she was not happy. What she said to me at that moment, I was really afraid. I prayed, I went, I said, as big as I am, and my mother was very little. And she said to me, you know, Moshe, any God who can change you from doing what you were doing back to teaching Torah has got to be the God. And I said, Mama, he can be yours too. You want him? She said, yes. I almost fell over. And we prayed. And she lived for 3 years happy, happy, of sound mind.
Moshe, you were consumed with destroying the enemy. Sounds to me like that same thing that was all-encompassing now is in serving God. Mm-hmm. Do you have joy?
Yeah. You know what? In the work that I used to do, it was living in the pits of hell. You had to go down into the darkness. Man, what man does to men is unspeakable. Since I have known the Messiah, even with all the tribulations and the diseases and the losses and the founds, and I want to tell you, once you get on God's list and get off the devil's list, he tries to get you back, works very hard at it. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am happy. I am healthy. Even when there are tribulations, the joy I can't really explain. How can I explain? And I want to tell you something. I'm still an assassin.
You are?
Yes.
You didn't change?
I changed, except I don't hunt people anymore. What I hunt now is evil. In the name of the Lord,
now,
by his word.
Now, there is certain evil called diseases
that
God healed you of, and I've got the records right here.
Yes.
I mean, I've got the medical records. You pray for people that are sick, and what happens?
They get healed.
Now, someone told me there's a word, a Hebrew word, hallelujah.
Yes.
What does that really mean?
It comes from the word hallel, and hallel means just absolute joy. It's even more so. What was that word I told you? I forget. The
outrageous,
abundant, beyond uncontrollable joy.
Uncontrollable joy. What's going on in your life right now? I'll tell you one thing. You're watching because there is a God that cares about you, and there is a destiny on your life. Can you understand this uncontrollable joy? The only way you can understand this uncontrollable joy is to experience the life of God in Yeshua, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah.